All right, so I'm coming into this really cold, folks. Sorry about that. You're listening to a little special edition of Deprogrammed. My name is Justin Wilson, as you may know, but you may not know this man, Tom Pappas. Ladies and gentlemen, how are you doing, Tom?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm glad you called me.
My apologies for being late. I was supposed to be calling you like an hour and a half ago, and I just remembered right now.
It happens.
Where are you located?
I'm in Hampton, Virginia.
Mm.
So we're like an hour to your east-ish?
No. I live in Nashville.
Oh, okay. So
a little further out. So you're in Hampton? Are you near Junction City, Bristol area, or where's Hampton?
Are you familiar with Norfolk, Virginia Beach?
Oh yeah, you're 10 hours from me, man.
Oh yeah, so I'm way.
But
way
held together by the miracle of cellular technology.
Yes. So you're here today to talk to me a little bit about Super Drag.
Yes, sir.
Tonight the Deprogrammed was on Super Drag, and if you're not familiar with our program, what we do is I get a panel of people together, three or four. Tonight the case was three. And we talk about that day's band. Tonight it was Super Drag. The idea being with Super Drag is that all three members of the panel had never listened to Super Drag before. So we were all discovering Super Drag together. It is so weird, actually, after listening to the discography, that's super weird. Because the overwhelming response was, How the hell did we not listen to these guys? It doesn't make sense.
There's loads of bands out there you've never heard of that are really good. Some of them are here in Nashville. You know, there might be a local band, but it's usually, you might have loads of bands that are really popular and it's not music you dig. It's all subjective.
Fair enough. It's a fair enough point. But it's just funny how it fell into all three of our wheel well. This was a band that's really spoke to all three of us. But
right on.
It's funny you mentioned local music. That's kind of what the station does here. Our station, Radio Free Radio, we play local independent music. It's 100% independent. It's probably about 90% of this area.
That's fine. We don't exist anymore. We don't play anymore. Super Drag, that is. But I'm still, you know, John and I live here in Nashville, and I'm working at his house right now, do construction stuff.
Oh.
So I see him pretty almost every day right now. But, we do our own bands. He doesn't play out as live much. He likes to do studio stuff. And then I've got my band, Tom Pappas Collection. And we'll do, I'll do a Super Drag number, now and again, from the reunion record and stuff. But that band was a big part of our lives. That's all we did.
Clearly, for years,
that's how we made a living,
So you guys were I've seen it described as a on-again, off-again band. Is it officially off-again forever, for foreseeable future?
Yeah, I have no idea, man. Somebody asked John that before the reunion, and he's like, it's never going to happen again. And I thought it would never happen again. Then we had the reunion, and it did.
Yeah.
So I just leave it there. But as far as somebody calling up and asking us to play, it's usually not. If it was a big event, big, huge thing, I'm sure that everybody would consider it, but he's not that into it. And he's the main dude. You got it.
Right.
You can't do it without John.
Yeah. I got to say, I'm bummed that I never got to see you guys play. You guys are right in my wheelhouse. Perfect sound for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we still play. It's just under different names.
Different names.
We still write songs. I was doing music before Super Drag in 1992 and 93 in the U's with John, doing punk rock. And then he was writing, and we did Super Drag. And during that, I had Flesh Vehicle, and now he's got the band The Leaves of Memory with Brandon from Super Drag. It sounds like Super Drag. I suggest checking that stuff out.
Oh.
Some people say that's some of the best Super Drag records out, and they're called The Leaves of Memory.
In doing some research, I found that the follow up to Regretfully Yours, Head Trip in Every Key, was actually a big war with the record label. No?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, did I misread this? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a situation. You put out a record. you have a one-hit wonder on it, right?
Uh-huh.
It's 1996. You have the second record. They spent a whole bunch of money on the record. They want you to do it, you know, a certain way. They basically want you to recreate what you did,
right,
but not tell you that. It's like, we don't want you to play the same song again, but deep down we really do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and we didn't want to record a record like that. You know, we wanted to, you know, you do artistic stuff, you want to grow.
Absolutely. So
we did, and that's like the cult. I call that the cult record because everybody always loves that record. I have people that come up to me in clubs like, nobody knows who I am, you know, or whatever. And then you have these, like, you know, I remember being in San Diego once. I was with my sister. We're at the San Diego Zoo, right? And this Asian couple comes up to my sister, and I was hanging out with my little niece about 20 feet away walking her, and my sister comes back and goes, those two Asian people know you. I was like, yeah. They're like, is that Tom from Super Dragon? They said, and she's like, yeah, you want to meet him? They go, no. So it's like you're anonymous for the most part. You don't even really think about it. It's just like something you did in your past. You still like the music. I'll listen to it now and again. You know, we did the reunion stuff for a while in 2007 through 2010. You know, we went for Cheap Trick. We played, we were actually bigger during the reunion in terms of like headlining. You know, it was a lot of big shows. But, you know, you're like this kind of cult status deal where somebody might not know you from Adam or like, who cares, you know? And then somebody else will think you're the, you know, that's the greatest thing since, you know, sliced bread or something. But
so, I was, this may sound weird, but I did an episode of Deprogrammed a couple weeks back with my wife on the band Hanson.
I remember them.
And you know, it's the one hit wonder, and they came a little bit after you guys. 98, I believe, is when Mbop hits. Mm-hmm. And they actually had a very similar situation where they went to record the follow up, and the record label was at war with them because they wanted 13 Mbops. And that was the quote that stuck out to me reading up on Head Trip, is that, you know, you guys didn't want to write 13 sucked outs.
Yeah. Still like the song. I'm proud of that tune.
Oh, yeah. It's a great song.
Not like we don't like the, or I don't, me personally, I think it's a killer track. I love the record, love the time period. It encapsulates the time period, but, you know, I don't know. If you listen to Head Trip in Every Key and you get a copy of it, listen to the second song, Hellbent. It is similar to Sucked Out. It's in that ballpark. So, hell, we kind of gave them what they wanted, but
yeah.
It's not exactly like it. But it can fit into that whole deal. But
I think
the whole war thing happened after that record.
Oh.
There was a war about the cover. You know, our singer wanted to have a different picture on the cover than the one that, you know, from the photo session, and yada yada yada. And you know, stuff just happened, and I'm cool. It's like, what would it be like if we did have several platinum records, you know?
Yeah.
We might be dead.
Oh, well, my question was going to be that eventually Hanson decided that the label wouldn't let them make the record that they wanted, so they ended up going independent. But what I really respect reading up on you guys is you guys made the record that you wanted. That's killer, man, to look the label in the face and say, you know what, this is our record, this is our sound, we're not going to betray it. Here it is. And I mean, I love you guys for that. That's amazing.
Yeah, we're there. Well, they gave us, they were actually pretty cool about that in terms of like giving us a giant budget. It was like the biggest thing I was ever involved with. There's a 24 piece orchestra on that second record.
Yeah.
The gutsy move, I thought, even more so than us, they allowed us to do that, was when I left the band in 1999.
Right.
And, they got another bass player in there who's a good friend of mine who lives here in Nashville. I just saw him, my buddy Sam, and they were fantastic. And they put out Valley of the Dying Stars, and that is an independent record. And they did drop them from the label.
Uh-huh.
But they gave them a severance package, and they used that money to create their own record and go out and then tour independently from 1999 till 2003, I believe.
Man.
So they became an indie band on Arena Rock Records, which is an independent label.
Well,
and they made a living, you know, and that record, I don't know if you've listened to that, the one I'm not on, is my favorite. That's Valley of the Dying Stars.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because I wasn't going to bring it up because I knew you weren't on the record, but I think I could easily make a case because I found it in like a $2 bin at an FYE, and that was my introduction, other than Sucked Out, my introduction to the band. And I was like, man, this is really good. And, you know, just for whatever reason, I never sought out the rest of the discography. I loved Valley of the Dying Stars.
A great record, man. That's John. John plays bass on half of that record, and they brought Sam into the band on the other half. That's where the war with the label really was, because it was going to be released on Elektra initially. And he would just write loads and loads of songs, give them to the A&R guy, and the A&R guy was like, you know, this is good. We need a world-class song. That was more of a war. So that, at least from what he told me, I wasn't there. I was only there for the demo part of it, pretty much. And then they recorded half of it under the studio, under Elektra's tutelage or whatever. And then they gave us the masters, I think, is what happened.
Right.
And then they went and recorded. They bought a studio equipment and recorded the rest of it on their own.
Man.
And that's when I thought it was cool. I'll never forget. Here's my memory of that whole tour. As a matter of fact, Brandon left. And when they went on tour after about the first month or two, and it was Don and John, original drummer, original, and of course the singer, and then Sam took my place, and then they brought in a guitar player, William Tyler. Then William left, and they were a trio. So, and I was roadieing for Bear Jr., and we're at South by Southwest, and I think this was in 2000, and we went to go see them play. You know, we played our show. Bear Jr. was opening for the Black Crowes, so that was huge, you know. Fun show. And then we go to Buffalo Billiards, I think is what it was called, in South by Southwest in Austin. We go and see Super Drag, and there's like, they're a trio, and they just kill it, you know. About 600 people there, you know, pretty big. Big show, and then they invite Ray Davies from the Kinks on stage and end the set.
Oh man!
And my jaw hit the ground. Like, oh my god!
That's pretty
from the
cool.
Kinks.
Yeah,
there's a story for you.
I gotta say, it's amazing to hear that. Like a lot of, I guess you get the feeling, or you know, reading this stuff that there might be some bitterness between them. But it's great to hear that that's not even close to the case.
No, we still, you know, we'll go when I went to Knoxville. I have my own band called Tom Pappas Collection,
which
I
is
still
great too.
Numbers
by the way.
That were Super Drag numbers, like it was on the reunion record, but I did a song called Cheap Poltergeist, so I still play that in my set.
Ooh.
And Brandon's there. I was like, Brandon never comes out to shows. Maybe I should just invite him up on stage. Maybe he'll come out. And Brandon learned. Brandon was initially in the Used, so we did a Used number. I've known him, you know, 20 is one of my best friends. I've known him 24, 25 years. So we did a Used number, Super Drag number, and then we did a Flesh Vehicle number, which is now a Tom Pavis Collection number. You know, it all kind of melds together.
Nice.
And he came up and just killed it, you know. Told him with the idea of getting him up for a full set next time. But yeah.
You guys
all hang out and help each other in bands. Like John plays in a band with me called Hurts to Laugh. He plays drums in it. We went in the studio. My friend Eric Dale's band, and we're the rhythm section for it.
That's great. So, that is really great. Like, I don't know why. Like, I guess I read too far into it that there might be some sort of tension, but clearly I was way wrong. That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, we hang out with each other's kids and stuff. It's pretty cool.
I'm sorry. I feel like I cut you off. You were about to launch into the story. It just it feels good to know that there's no bitterness, no tension. I don't know why, but I didn't think that was the case.
Most bands, it isn't the case, you know, because you're around each other all the time. You might have had, you know, I mean, we did. I'm sure throughout the years we've had our problems and ups and downs with the drama stuff back when we were all effed up, you know.
Right.
But
yeah,
now it's just like, what it was like your war buddies, you know.
So
you fought in the 90s wars.
Yes.
The 120 minutes wars.
Yeah, being buzzworthy.
Yeah, man, it was pretty cool time period. I mean, just it's a weird time period now, but
it is really weird now, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I find a band here and there, and actually, I found Tom Pappas' collection, obviously from the Superdrag website, and I was I went ahead and listened to it. And I was like, oh man, this is really good. So as soon as I have a little money my way, I'll be purchasing that from the Bandcamp. If you guys want to, is it TomPappasCollection.bandcamp.com?
Yes, it is. See? You can do that. If you're are you a vinyl guy?
I'm in between.
And it's okay if you're not, because I have. We got the brand new record out on vinyl, and we got CD. And the best deal is if you go onto the site, you buy a T-shirt, you get a free download of the whole record.
Oh, nice! Yeah, that's.
So, but I'm down to smalls and mediums right now. So well, I have no idea. That would be a.
Unfortunately, I'm neither of those. Maybe
okay.
if you combine
both.
Well,
I'm going to be printing up new T-shirts. And in the next, like, 2 months or so.
Very
so
cool.
If you go up there, you'll get a free download of the new record.
I dig that.
A T-shirt.
So what I wanted to do before letting you go, and again, thank you so much for calling, man. I really appreciate it. I wanted to run down, again, we whittled down our songs, and actually Cheap Poltergeist was one of the last ones in the conversation. We whittled it down.
Really?
Yeah, it really was. Yep.
Out of the whole catalog?
Yeah. Yep.
I never would have guessed that one. But
we've got
thanks.
We whittled it down to 10, and you know, maybe if you wanted to give your thoughts on a couple of these, and then we'll call it a night. So First With a Bullet actually ended up being Destination Ursa Major.
That's a good one. I'll vote for that.
Yeah, and we thought that was a closer definition of the sound of the band, like rather than
that's funny. Mention that because that was what we picked for the second single, and we thought that encapsulated our sound better, just like you said. So.
And I you know, I didn't know that it had a video. I didn't know that it was. I didn't know, and I'm like, man, had I seen this back then, I would have been a huge Superdrag fan. That bums me out.
You want to know what happened? You want to hear a story about why it didn't get played?
Would love to.
This is what I was told. We went out to eat lunch. It was 1996, the single was happening, was starting to die down a little bit. We put out Destination Ursa Major, shut down on Wall Street in New York City. And we had lunch a couple weeks or months later and with the actual programmer at MTV. I mean, those guys launched the band. Electra didn't launch, and when they picked up Sucked Out, that, you know, we're on TV four times a day for 6 weeks, you know. So they said they didn't play it because they didn't want to look like they were playing favorites. They said the label dropped the ball with radio promotion. So they just, you know, they didn't want to play favorites. No offense, but that's why we couldn't play it. You know, that was what I was told.
That's
from the person who directs programming. Of course, this is like, you know, 20 years ago. I don't care at this point. But
right. But that's
what went down.
That seems like a really lame excuse.
Hey, I mean, it's true. It's like you got all these bands going, and when you put something out, you got to have the label backing it so they just don't look like they're favoring the band, because they helped us out a lot, you know, they by doing what they did. Uh-huh. But anyways, go on, Destination Ursa Major. I'm backing it.
So that was One With a Bullet. Number two came in, this was a unanimous decision, was Keep It Close to Me off of Valley.
Yeah, you want to... Know a thing about that tune? Or
absolutely.
You don't have a lot of time.
Whatever you got, man. I'd love to hear something about it.
During the reunion thing, we would have songs that people would sing. You know, you had Sucked Out. People would sing that like crazy. The place, you know, you have 1,000 people screaming it. Keep It Close to Me was one of the other tunes. Not a hit, nothing, you know.
Yeah.
And people, we'd start the set out, and John would let the audience sing. And I'll never forget that. It almost felt like you were covering somebody else's music.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, like, it's super catchy.
Yeah, it's a good one, man. And it's a testimony, too. It's like, you know, it's on, you know, Valley of the Dying Stars. And it's after, you know, he was, you know, told this music, you know, wasn't that good, you know, over and over again. He's like, tell you what, screw you. I'm going to keep it close to me. And This is the deal. I don't want to deal with the hassle. I'm going to give you the music. That's what you get. Boom.
Exactly. Like that first line, again, it's so perfect, is I love rock and roll, but I don't want to deal with the hassle.
I want rock and roll.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yes. And I know what I know, but I don't want to feel like an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, and people dug that. So of course, back that one. That's the one we played.
All right, so
reunion.
We've got Senorita.
Yeah, back in that has lots of memories. That's how we got signed because of that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that came out. It was in our first demo, Stereo 360 Sound. Put that out in 1994. Went out to California. Went up to San Francisco. Darla Records wanted to put, after we played there, they wanted to put that single out. They put the little, is this vinyl, you know?
Right.
And they wanted to put it out, and then CMJ heard it, and they picked it up. Remember the little CD? Do you remember 1996? I don't know, older, but.
I would have been 16, so I remember
six.
It.
They used to have this magazine called CMJ, College Music Journal, and they put out a magazine. Inside the magazine, it gave it had a sampler of songs on it. And they put Senorita as one of the songs on the sampler, and then all the labels went nuts because it was right around the time when Weezer had just gone, you know, platinum, and Green Day was hitting. So we were in that realm of pop noise music, you know, and punk rock mixed together. So that song started a bidding war, basically, and we, you know, kept playing shows. We're active. We go to New York a bunch and try to get with the best label we could, you know.
That's great.
And that's what happened. And here's another story. I had my single, and those things are actually like worth something right now.
Oh, man. That.
But anyhow, Senorita, back in that was another one we played, and people dug that one a lot too.
Yeah, so we're right in line so far. How about Going Out? Again,
Going Out's one of my faves. We only played that. It was like right before I quit the band. The only time I remember playing that. We played a couple times, but I always loved that song myself. And remember, that's, you know, one of my favorite records.
Yeah, it's
my Super Drag. It is.
I think we got like three. Yeah, we got three Valley in. So and then the next one, Some Kind of Tragedy.
Some Kind of Tragedy. What record's that on?
It's on Valley.
That's on Valley.
Yep.
Thinking Soul of the World. Okay.
And then
gotcha. It's another fave of mine. It almost has the Who vibe to it.
Yeah, totally.
It's on the back side of the record, right before True Believer.
Yes. Yep. Death Blow to Your Pride.
What record's that on?
Industry Giants.
Oh, it's the punk rock one.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that now.
Definitely dug that one. Just had a
That's
nice,
a good one.
Nice groove to it. Do the Vampire.
One of my faves, Tom Pavis Collection covers, used to cover that one.
Had to get it
one
through.
One of my faves.
Yeah, had to get it through. Last Call for Vitriol, The Staggering Genius. I just stuck.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
You know, that was the second time they played on Conan O'Brien, they played that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, somebody canceled, and they called them up, and they drove to New York and played Conan O'Brien.
Oh.
Sam was in the band, and Mick Harrison. It's pretty cool. They all dressed up in suits and stuff. So I was proud of those dudes two times in a row.
Yeah. We got just two more. Really Through?
That's a good one. I actually wrote the riff on that one.
Oh, really?
Just the riff. John took the helm on the rest of that.
All right.
That's a rare. You guys did your homework, Dan.
And then last but not least, The Art of Dying.
The Art of Dying.
Yep.
Vintage.
Yeah.
Nice, man.
There were so many. This was really tough for us. We actually, you know, because there was so many where we were trying to like pin it down to try to keep it to the sound. And I don't know, like the guitar work is insane on all of these records. And I know you're the bass player, but like you add to that punch. Like there was just this punch to what Super Drag was doing, man. And like the fact that we missed out on it, all three of us were just super bummed out. But, you know, that's also great about now is, yeah, I missed out, but I was able to listen to the whole discography in a week and fall in love with a band that I didn't know about a week ago.
Well, that's cool. Thanks for, you know, doing the research.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see, like you didn't know anything of the band, or how did you just, you found that record in a $2 bin, or like, oh, what's this? It's like an artifact or something.
Well, you know, I knew the name from Sucked Out, obviously, and
okay,
but I never got Regretfully Yours. I never bought in, and I saw Valley of the Dying Stars in that bin, and I was like, I remember Sucked Out. You know, I'll give this a listen, and I loved it then. And, you know, just for whatever reason, I, again, didn't seek out the rest of the discography. And I started doing this show, like, in February or March. And, honestly, Superdrag has been one of the bands I've wanted to do, but I didn't have anybody who would do it with me. So, like, I decided, well, you know, nobody knew. So, like, I was like, well, then F it. None of us are going to know, and we're all going to do it. And I think it was more fun that way. Everybody had a blast listening to the music, so...
So, wow, a lot of folks, they didn't know anything. They weren't fans, and you said, check this band out, and they listened to a bunch of stuff, and they came back and picked their favorite songs, basically.
Yeah, yep.
Is that what we did? Wow. Yep. Well, thanks for choosing Superdrag.
Well, Tom, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for calling. I'll let you go. I got a couple things I need to do here, but, man, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I really appreciate it.
Sure, dude. Thanks for, you know, keeping our tunes out there. You can, you know, feel free to call if you come through Nashville.
Yes.
And is this a podcast? Are you on a radio station? Is it a college station? What is the setup?
It's an internet radio station, radiofradio.com. We, like I said, we're like a community station. We're trying to be a community station.
Oh, right on. So, we got a couple of those in Nashville. Yeah, really great.
We're trying to get to the FM. We're just not quite there yet. We're just on the internet right now. So
that's fine. Build an audience, man. Get out there.
That's what you got to do.
Send me a link to this broadcast, you know, that kind of thing.
We'll do.
I'll let you know when I have something other than medium-sized t-shirts.
Yes. I'll definitely be getting one of those. And like I said, if I ever come out to Nashville, I'll definitely come check you out.
Yeah, cool.
Dig the tunes.
Give me a text. Let me know in advance.
All righty. Will do, man. Tom, thank you so much for your time. Have a great night, man.
Sure. Thank you, Justin. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Pappas of Superdrag, Tom Pappas Collection. I feel good about it. We're going to cut it right there. I feel good. I feel great. A little bonus deprogram for you guys. All right. Have a good night, everybody.